Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded with the truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Amen. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you. We bless you, O God, your name, to know that you are holy, you're high, you're wonderful, you're awesome, O God, even in all your ways. God, we pray, Lord, that you govern us even through this Bible study. God, that we may hear from you and not of ourselves. God, we pray right now, oh Lord, that your word will go out with power, with unction, even though this is a Bible study. But Lord, that there's something that you're pointed at us, even in our hearts, through your word, God, to shape us, to conform us to your very image. God, we pray, oh God, because we live in the last and evil day. And with the principalities and the powers and the rulers and all these things that we have to contend with, we pray right now in the name of Jesus, God, that you just continue to equip us, that you just continue to arm us, oh God, that you continue to just gird us up by your word, which is our very protection. God, we thank you and we bless you, oh God, oh Lord, and we thank you, oh God, because we can have a zeal for you, but not according to knowledge. It's the knowledge of you, oh God. It's knowing you personally. It's knowing you intimately, oh God. It's you revealing yourself to us that our eyes may be open to see you, oh God, to see you, to see who we are in you, oh God, that we can have just an experimental knowledge of you closely, intimately, oh God. We thank you. Because we know you. Paul said, I want to know you this way. In the power of your resurrection, in the fellowship of your suffering, even to be made conformable to our very death. God, we pray, oh God, Lord, that this is our living way, oh God, in our hearts to know, oh God, beyond the shadow of a doubt, God, who we are and what we have, even when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Most High God would raise up your standard against him. Lord, crucify me, oh God, even on this call. We pray for clarity. We pray for truth. Oh God, we pray for understanding. All these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. For sake we pray. Amen. First of all, we thank God for who he is. We thank God for this passage, this text of what we are dealing with again tonight. And when we look at this Ephesians, and just a real quick recap of where we are and where we've been. First of all, dealing with the truth. We started with the truth. We talk about putting on the whole armor of God, having your loins girt about with truth. And then the second week we dealt with having on the breastplate of righteousness. And tonight, we're going to deal with our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So we have the belt, the breastplate, and now we're going to talk about our shoes. Our shoes of righteousness. And the first thing I want to talk about tonight is Christ. Christ, when he talks about having your feet shod, or equipped with the preparation of the gospel of peace, right? that's talking about that piece that he's talking about that we must put on. Each one of these articles or each one of these armaments that he implores us to place on us, each one of them is Christ. Christ is truth. And I'm going to give you all some scriptures. First of all, we said we got to put on the belt of truth. We have to put on the breastplate of righteousness. And tonight we have to put on our shoes. Amen. We have to put on our shoes. And so when he says Christ is the truth, right? John chapter 1, verse 14. Somebody can turn there. John chapter 1, verse 14. We're going to read that first. I'm just going to quickly recap just some of these scriptures that we've been looking at. We all know John 14, 6. We won't turn there. But John 1, verse 14 says this, and the word was made flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. So he was full of grace and he was full of truth. And we see here, he dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father. That means the only son. He didn't have 10 sons. He didn't have 5 sons. He had one son, and his name was Jesus. And in Jesus Christ, we see him. We see him as the Word of God, right? He is the Word. Can't separate him. Not only is he the Word, but he was full of grace and full of truth. And so when we talk about the truth, right, we have to know Christ is the truth. He's the very truth. Amen? God cannot lie. Bible says, let every man be a what? Let God be true. And let every man be a liar. Amen? There's no lies in him. He is the truth. And so, and we're going to go through this, right? Each armament, first the belt of truth, Jesus is the truth. And when we talk about the truth, right, it's we have to be honest with ourselves. So he says in Psalms 51, you can write this down, God desires truth where? In our inward part. So when we talk about putting on Christ, right, or putting on the new man, we have to put on truth. How do we put on truth? Through the word of God. As the word exposes. You see, some people think, well, this truth is just for somebody else. Now, I know in the first Bible study, we talked about Christ being the word of God. And when Satan came at him to attack him, right, Christ depended on the word of God. We talked about the daggers. We talked about scripture. Christ did not depend on himself, but he depended on the word of God. He was the very word, but he said in Matthew, it is written, Matthew chapter 4, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the word of God. So that's one thing we have to, so Christ is truth, right? Let's write them down. His word is truth, right? This was going to be on the sheet. Hope you're writing this down. His word is truth, and to our protection is the truth in us, or to be honest with ourselves. Those are the three things when it comes to truth. And we're going to turn. Listen, and it's important because we're talking about spiritual warfare, being dressed for battle. And so Psalm 51. And this is important. Listen, you can't have the truth without the word of God. So when we look at Psalms 51, verse 2 says, wash me thoroughly from iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and only thee have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Then he says, behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother what? Conceive me. And then he says, behold, thou desirest truth in my inward parts. He desired truth in my inward part. Because guess what? And I'm going to refer here. I know Sunday we were talking about surface church. And Sunday we were talking about the dangers of a surface church. Right? And so before my relationship with Christ is in the church, shouting, raising my hand, before my relationship is even with my family, with my wife, my children, me being as a father, once I'm saved and born again, my number one desire, when Paul says, I want to know you and the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your suffering, right? To be made conformable through your death, the first person that God desires, he desires us to have truth in our inward parts. In our inward parts. Thou desire truth in our inward parts and in the hidden. When we deal with surface church and surface religion, and I said it Sunday, guess what? The hidden part, those hidden compartments do not get dealt with the truth. Because it's the word of God that has to break the surface, that has to break the hardness, that has to break through. And that's why we always talk about brokenness. Because without brokenness, without brokenness, without brokenness, you can't deal with the hidden place. When he, listen. When he says, thou desire truth in my inward parts and in the hidden place, that hidden place is called hidden for a reason. Because it's hidden. And when we can have a relationship with Jesus Christ, right? Or in religion or in surface, but guess what? Without the word of God has to first expose that hidden place. And it's only the word of God that can get to that hidden place. So it's the word that has to expose. And I've been through, I don't know if anybody's ever been there, but listen, as we grow in relationship, what you find out is there's some things in you. There's some things in us that only the word of God can bring out. I'm serious. There's some things, and I'm telling you, we've been there where there were some things that when you've gotten a relationship, you've gotten in this word, you've gotten deep. There's some things in us that we didn't even know were there. We didn't even know were there. And God has to reveal them to us that they're there. And that's a pursuit to really want to know the truth. The first person I got to know the truth is about myself. Y'all know why? Because we're talking about spiritual warfare. We're talking about spiritual wickedness in high places. And to put on that belt, the very foundation, the very first armament that he mentions is me being honest that God can expose me, that I can deal with them things on in that hidden place. Because guess what? When I smooth over and kind of know something's there but really don't want to know, like the iceberg, you can see the top 10, 15%, but all underneath, you can't see that 85%. The devil knows it's there. He knows it's there. And so guess what? That's why he says, put on that belt of truth. Because guess what? The enemy, listen, you can't give him place. When you've dealt with it, you've got to see it. I've got to see it. But what religion does, religion externalizes us that we see everything else, everybody else, but we don't want to deal with the truth of our own self. I got to deal with me. I got to deal with me. Amen. And y'all know what? And I know. We got to move. But I'm telling you, you can go through something and somebody that you're dealing with is dead wrong. But as long as we get hung up on them being wrong, you don't know what they did. You don't know what happened. If we get hung up on them being dead wrong, you can't worry about them. But I'm telling you, and it's like, we can't let it go. No, let's deal with you. And if they're wrong, just give it to the Lord. Give that thing to the Lord. Shake the dust off your feet and keep it moving. Because guess what? God knows. He already knows they're wrong. But guess what? You're wrong too. You got a part in the matter, and that's what we don't want to see. You don't want to see our part in it? When God deals with us, guess what? He'll take care of the other person. You just be you who Christ has made you to be. You be honest with your own self. Amen? But when we get hung up on them being wrong, some people can't move past. We've got to be able to move past. And guess what? I know it hurts. And we're going to deal with that. We're going to deal with that hurt. We're going to deal with it with the preparation of the gospel peace. We're going to deal with that hurt. We're going to deal with that pain. We're going to deal with it. We're going to deal with it. And guess what? When you see Christ, I'm telling you, that pain, it goes away. Because you see Christ, regardless of what they've done. And I'm telling you, when we talk about the belt of truth, to see ourselves, Christ can come in. And we're delivered from that place that we've given the devil. All right? So that was truth. And I know with truth, I know we dealt with the first time, we dealt more with the word of God, which is the truth. And how when Satan tempted Christ, right? Christ relied on the word. But I just wanted to add that component to truth. We've got to see truth on the inside. God's got to deal with that. Second one we dealt with was the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. Mm-hmm. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And y'all know something, and I'm going to say this. You have religions, right, that are formed off of hurt. You have people that are gravitate towards certain religions because somebody can relate with your pain. Amen. People can relate to your pain and never really give that thing to Christ. Right? And we can listen, we can all admit, can we all admit, because we're dealing with spiritual warfare, we can all admit that man, and I'm for real, man, somebody's done you wrong, for real, right? And somebody else can go through the same thing. They've been done wrong too. Y'all get together, and I'm telling you, we love to simmer. We love to simmer in somebody being able to relate with our pain, right? And to be honest with you, our flesh, people that have been hurt, people that have been through something, people that have been racially discriminated against, whatever it is, we love to simmer in that. Our flesh does, right? That because it becomes a device that we use. And that's why, and I said this before, and we've said it before, Stanley was dealing with a woman who couldn't forgive, and he kept talking to her about, listen, you got to forgive this person. You got to forgive this person. And then she slammed her hand, bam. And she says, I can't forgive. I just can't. Because if I forgive, what else will I have? What else would I have? Amen? And so that becomes that device of what you have becomes a device for the enemy to operate in our lives. And that's spiritual warfare. Amen? And so that's why we have to be honest. We have to be truthful with ourselves. That thing that's hidden in there, that we give that thing to the Lord. That we don't become, that thing doesn't become a place or a stumbling block for the enemy. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says this. For he hath made him, that is Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that's talking about the breastplate of righteousness. I'm going to skip. We're not going to deal too much with here. I think last week we talked about Christ is our position. Our position. Once we're saved, we accept Christ, he becomes our position of righteousness. Right? And then as believers, once we're saint, once we continue in this growing process through the word of God, it's a progression of righteousness. So our position of righteousness does not change. We grow in knowing how, what we have and who we are in Christ. But it's our progression. We have to grow in progression of righteousness. That there's certain things that we do that does not fit who we are in Christ. And so certain things that does not fit who we are or fit what Christ has done, those are the things that we got to lay aside. And we have to grow in our progression of righteousness. Amen. And that's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin. He sinned for us. We talked about this a little bit. Who knew no sin? He stood in the place of us to block the wrath of God, that we might gain his righteousness. And he exchanged our wrath. He took our wrath. He took our place on the cross. Amen. Also, let's turn Isaiah 54:17. Listen, when we talk about spiritual warfare and the attacks of the enemy, it says this: no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Amen. Every tongue that shall rise against thee, the devil is the adversary, right? God shall condemn. And then it says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. Y'all see that? Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord, because Jesus Christ is our righteousness. All right? And it's funny, some of us been quoting that verse for years. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And people quote that verse, right? And Lord just broke my heart to the rest of that verse, right? That righteousness, that weapon, that's formed. Listen, the breastplate, the heart, the basic front and the back of the soldier, that breastplate that covered them, that righteousness is God's righteousness. Amen? That's his righteousness. And we are the righteousness of God because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Amen. And there's a bunch more verses that I could put on concerning our righteousness. So we have truth, we have righteousness, the belt of truth, we have the breastplate of righteousness, and next we want to deal with our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Amen. And I want to say this, all these three, righteousness, truth, and peace, they all are embodied in the person of Jesus Christ. This armament that we have is embodied in the person of Jesus Christ. So when we put on this armor, who are we putting on? We are putting on Jesus Christ. We're putting him on. Hallelujah. Amen. This isn't some object we pick up and put on. No, we're putting on Christ. And we're going to get there. We're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, right? Not right this second. But it's all Christ. Truth is Christ. Righteousness is Christ. Amen. And peace is Christ. And thank God for Minister Williams. And there's a book Watchman Nee has, that the problem is when we're struggling, we're going through something, we say, Lord, I need more peace. Lord, I need more this. No, we need more of Christ. And as we put on Christ, we put on truth, we put on righteousness, and we put on peace. Amen. But tonight, we're just going to break down what each one of these represent. That righteousness, man, look, listen. Christ knew no sin. He never sinned. He was perfect, and he was righteous in that he perfectly obeyed God. Perfectly. Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be made equal with God, because he was, yet made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of a man. The Bible says he became obedient even to the death of the cross. Amen. And when you're living a righteous life, not saying you're perfect. Ain't nobody perfect but Jesus Christ. But it's holiness without. The Bible says no man can see Jesus. And we know when we have sin in our life, when we have things on the surface or things under the surface that we refuse to deal with, I don't care what the sin is, the enemy has a right. He has a right. Amen. And so the next one we want to deal with is peace. Ephesians 6, verse 15. And it says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Right? And when he said our feet shod, and I said this last week, when you look at the Roman soldier, Paul was either chained to a Roman soldier when he was in Rome or when he wrote this, and he was inspired by the Holy Ghost to write this, to see that it's not what we're dealing with, it's not what we're dealing with on the surface, right? To see where the enemy attacks, to see that although the problem, right, may appear to be physical or emotional or something down here, but the problem is rooted in heavenly places. That's where the problem is rooted. And I'm telling you, I can't say it enough. I'm dealing with so many things right now that only know how to deal with the physical problem with the physical means. God has not called us to do that. He's called us to fight these battles on our knees. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit. It's a spiritual battle. And so when we deal with the gospel of peace, first of all, you've got to know our feet shot. I've shot that there were special shoes that the soldier had to wear on his feet, right? To gain footing in battle. And so there were special shoes that he wore to gain footing in battle. And guess what? We are at peace because of Christ. Listen, and I'm telling you that when we talk about that peace, he said, feet shod with the preparation of the what? Gospel of peace. And what is the gospel?
Death, burial, and resurrection.
Amen. Word of God, good news. It is the death, is the birth, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when he says your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, it's the gospel. It's the gospel. It's what Christ has done for us, right? That's given us this peace. It's what Christ has done that's given us this peace. You guys can write these scriptures down. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 5, we talk about our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We're justified by faith. Being justified by faith, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, we have peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So because of what Christ did through the gospel, through his coming, through his death, amen, and through his resurrection, He made peace for us permanently. That's the peace that we have with God. So Christ is our peace. And this is the key. This is where we got to walk as believers. So we have peace with God. And the verse 2 says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice. So when he says, by whom, by which we also have access, he's talking about the peace of God. So not only do we have the peace with God, but we have access to have the peace of God. So peace with God, and then we have to grow in the peace of God. Amen? And that's that peace. That's that peace. Because when we don't know, or we don't operate like we have peace with God, we'll walk in fear, we'll walk in doubt, and that's why you got to have them shoes on. But if we don't have our shoes on, right, we will doubt, we will fear, we will worry, we'll be anxious, we'll be depressed. I've never seen so many depressed Christians, amen, or fearful Christians. Listen, we've got to know what we have in Christ. And it's that peace, which is great. Philippians 4:6. Let's turn there.
Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
Amen. So when he says be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Read the next one.
And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so earlier we talked about people that have done you wrong, right? Maybe your job done you wrong. Maybe your boss did you wrong. Maybe your family member or coworker or whatever it was. Somebody took some money from you. Somebody docked your pay. Whatever that thing was, and they were wrong. Guess what? God can still give you peace. And I'm grateful to God. We have to be grateful to God. There's so many things that we could be holding on to. We saw it come out in this pandemic through the racial depression and the racial divide. Could have been discrimination. But how God will still give you peace, even in the midst of whatever you are going through, he'll still give you peace. He'll still give you peace. But what we've got to do, we've got to give that thing to him. We've got to first give that thing to him. So when he says, let your moderation be known to all men that the Lord is at hand, be careful for nothing. That means that be careful for nothing means don't be worried about everything. Amen? Mm-hmm. But in everything, I don't care what it is, by prayer and supplication. Amen? That's an earnest prayer. With thanksgiving. Y'all see that? With thanksgiving. You got to be grateful. You got to be thankful. To let your request be made known unto God. And it's funny, but we will go through something. We'll be anxious. And I said it before. We'll go to everybody else complaining. Right? We'll complain to everybody. We'll go to everybody. Letting everybody else know. And God says, I see it. I'm right here, but you've got to. And I know somebody's like, okay, we know this. We already know this. But no, do we practice this? Do we put this in practice? Amen. He says, in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing. Paul prohibits the Philippians from worrying about their own problems. Instead, they are to commit their problems to God in prayer and trusting that he will deliver. Amen? Mm-hmm. And guess what? Some people are quick to let people rob you of their peace, of your peace. Amen? We give these things to Christ, and in turn, he gives us himself. He gives us his peace. And listen, and you know how you know? You know how you know? You know how you know? It's because it passes all understanding. Mm-hmm. You were upset for real. Somebody say for real. Think about something you went through. You were upset for real. And you were simmering. You were hot. Like a hot pot grits. You were hot. You were hot. And listen, we can all think about some things. All of us. That God brought us through. But the peace that passes what I know, how I feel, my emotions, my anger, it passes all of that because of what Christ has done. The Bible says he abolished in his flesh the enmity of us all, and by twain making one new man. So not only did he settle the odds with us and give us peace with God, but it by him cracking open the curtain, cracking open the veil, he made atonement for us, and now we have the grace of God, the gifts of God that can give us, and it's the Holy Ghost that bypasses what we know, what we think, what we feel, and breaks us to the heart. Last week, I put up an illustration of the outer man and the inward man, right? We have the body, soul, and the spirit. Body, soul, and the spirit. Right. And we talked about earlier that you can't fight this battle with physical means. This battle must be fought. Or first of all, we already have the victory because of what Christ has done. But the battle that we face, the battles that we face must be fought by the inward man. That's God himself living in us. And so when he says the peace of God passes all understanding, it passes your body. It passes your soul. And guess what? It ignites. That peace ignites the spirit of the Most High God. Amen? And it's the new man that we have on the inside that now controls my actions. The new man has to control my tongue. The new man controls my temper. The new man controls my decision making. And it all starts with meditating on the word of God. And it's the word of God that lets you know you have something, you got something, somebody did something wrong, but he showed you them things that you might give them things back to him. And when you give them things back to him, in turn, he gives you peace beyond your body, your soul, and hits you in the spirit. And now it's the spirit, it's the new man that gives you that peace. You'll be walking on cloud nine. You'll be running and nobody's chasing you. You'll be clapping in the band-aid plan because of his peace. And what we often call the can't help us. You should have lost your mind, but he stepped in right on time. But it's the peace. It's the peace of God that he said, they sing a song. I woke up this morning with my mind. And it was what? Stayed on Jesus. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Listen. Before we turn there, but listen to this. Listen. He says, and the peace past all understanding will keep your heart. Philippians 4:7. And your mind. He'll keep your heart and your mind. Listen. Mental attacks, spiritual attacks of the mind. Now we're going to get to the mind. We'll talk about the helmet of salvation. But there's so many mental illness. So much mental illness is going on. And I'm telling you, I know people. And somebody said, brother, if I take my relative off this stuff, nobody will be around this person. This person is on medication, right? For the mind. And I'm telling you, listen, we can't fight this. And we all know people that have been attacked in the mind. So not only is he able to keep your heart, but he's able to keep your mind. Listen, we worried about what we ain't got. We worried about the money in the bank. Listen, thank God You got a right mind. Hey, amen. And they got some stuff out there. This drug called Molly, a Molly. Right? Where this stuff deals with the mind. It alters the mind. And I'm telling you, the mind goes when anxiety comes in and depression, oppression, all these things come in. The mind, it attacks the mind. That's the mind. So that peace passes all understanding. And it guides your heart and your mind. All right, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And guess what, y'all? Listen, I'm going to say this. Man, we can look at somebody with a mental illness, right? And be like, man, look, that'll never be me. Guess what? If you don't have the word in your heart, this works. Listen, I say it all the time. The natural progression of this world without Christ is insane, insanity. Y'all know that? The natural progression in this world without Christ is depression or insanity. That's what it is. Amen? Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 says this. Listen. Verse 17 says, this I say therefore. Talking about peace, right? And testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk no, not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their what?
Mind.
Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard of him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, he says, put off concerning the former conversation, which is what? Old man. You have to put off that conversation. You have to put off that old way of thinking. You have to put off those places you used to go. You have to put them off, right? And be renewed where? In the spirit of your mind. That you put on the what? The new man, which is after God and is created where? There's righteousness. There's truth and holiness. Amen? Thank you. There's righteousness there. The truth is there. And the peace is there. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, that we are members of one another. And then he says, be angry, but what? Sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give what? Place. And I'm telling y'all, the other night, man, I began to toss and turn in the middle of the night. Toss and turn. And you know what was going on? My mind was just thinking about all the things I had to do, right? Was thinking about some things that got to get paid. Was thinking about my son's college and making sure that's taken care of. And listen. And my mind just began to swim as I lay in the bed, right? And guess what? I had to get up or the next morning, very early in the morning, and get those things to the Lord. I have to give them to the Lord. Because guess what? I can't do nothing with them. So when he says, we have to put these things off, and that's what Ephesians 4:6 is talking about, giving these things to the Lord. And in return, he gave me a peace and a clarity about everything, even the church. Amen. And then, listen, and when you're walking in truth, when you're walking in righteousness, when your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, guess what? You will know this is part of the armament is being in the will of God. Psalm 91:1 says, he that dwelleth where? In the secret place of the Most High God shall abide where? Under the shadow of the Almighty. That's what we got to know. Because when we walk in sin, we still want to shack. We still want to gossip. We still don't want to forgive. People still don't want to work together. People don't want to love one another. People don't want to take the high road. That's not righteousness. You're going by your righteousness, what you think. And the Bible says your righteousness is who's what? Filthy rag. But guess what? That gives an opportunity for the devil to come in. Dissension. People not together. People not loving one another or living in sin. These things. And then we smooth it over with a layer of religion. And we don't see nothing wrong with ourselves. We only see the other people and the other person and what somebody's done to you. No. Listen, this is what the Bible says. Be angry. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. But sin not. Don't let the sun go what?
Down on your wrath.
Because guess what? When the sun goes down on your wrath, there's a piece of equipment in the kitchen called Set It and Forget It. Something they were demonstrating on one of them hotlines. Set It and Forget It. You know what happens is, listen, that thing that bothered you that you never got out, the next day you may forget about it. But guess what? It's still there. And guess what? It may make its way to the hidden place. But even though it's in the hidden place, we talked about that too, right? And as long as these things are still there and we don't come clean, that's why we say it's not about the other person. It's about you. And this is what we do. We give what? We give, neither give place to the devil. We give place to the devil. We say, here, devil, take my foot. We give him our foot. But it all starts with the word of God. We've got to listen. And I'm telling you, there's one key word to all this, to putting on this armor, because I heard Stan talk about it. Every morning we get up, we ought to pray that prayer, even before we get out of bed. God, help me this day. I'm not wrestling against what I can see, but I'm wrestling against what I can't see. God, help me to put on the belt of truth. Got to be honest with myself. If there's anything in there that's not truthful, where I'm not being truthful with you, help me, oh God. God, help me to put on the breastplate of righteousness. And thank God it's not my righteousness. I can't do it. But you did it on the cross. Help me, arm me, oh God, with that breastplate to be holy and to live for you. And God, keep my mind in perfect peace. Right? You can put that. There's a prayer to pray to arm yourself. Amen. With the spiritual armor that we have, that God gives us. Through the word of God. Amen. Where we don't give place to the devil. Amen. We talk about the old man and the new man. And we're going to talk about the helmet of salvation. We're going to talk about the sword of the shield of faith and the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. More and more. The world wants to be soaked into our spirit. The enemy is doing all he can. But David says, born in sin and shaped in iniquity, to shape the world into our culture, into our brains, into our minds. Amen. That's what he wants to do. And when you look at this word meditate and all this meditation that the world is doing now, but it's not on God. It's about emptying their mind. And when they empty their minds, they open it up for a demon. Amen. But we have to meditate on the word day and night. When we talk about it's the meditation. When we say the peace that passes all understanding, because that's coming from a prayer that we give these things to God. And so when he says prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, that's fellowship, right? Let your request be made known unto God. That shows fellowship. That shows intimacy. That shows meditation where the word is becoming soaked in on the inside. And now, guess what? It bypasses what I think, what I feel, my brain. It bypasses my soul, the religious part of me. And it hits me in the new man, the spirit. So we talk about that's how we feed the new man. Listen, when we talk about these weapons or this armament that we put on, it becomes soaked in, engrafted in, and embedded in. Not that I can quote everything under the sun and beat people up with scripture, not saying that that's what we do, but being having the ability to quote, we should be able to learn scripture and meditate on it and be able to quote on it, amen? But it does something to my inner man. When we desire truth in the inward part, and listen, and meditate. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, in the word of God. And in his word does he what?
Meditate.
Day and night. Listen, and it's through the word of God. That's how we put the armor on. We put the armor on through the word of God. Listen, and are you talking about crazy preaching? You're talking about doctor can't help it? You got to talk about can't hold stuff against people and can walk and work knowing they done me wrong and still hold my head up? I forgot about it. Who cares? When you see what Christ has done for you, the fact that he will love you, and that's what this word does. It translates us. Talks about in Colossians chapter 2. We're translated into the kingdom of his dear son. And so when we meditate on the word, it goes beyond the external, beyond the soul, hits the new man. And the new man now grows by the word. And it's the new man that guards my mouth, my eyes, my direction, my feet, and my hands. And now God reaches his hands through me. And now he lives his life through us, and people see Christ, and not us. They see Christ on your job, and not you. You ain't got to get bad or get even. Somebody said, I got to get even. Somebody said, man, listen, I got to be like this on this job, because if I don't, they'll eat me alive. No, they won't. You got Christ. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. We've got to know who we are. First of all, we've got to know what he's done. We've got to know what he's done for us. We've got to know who we are in Christ and what he says about us. Amen? We've got to know it. And I'm telling you, when you fall in love with Christ, and I'm telling you, listen, God keeps making a way out of no way. I don't deserve it. I can't explain it, but the more I give to him and the more I just want to fellowship with him, man, he opens up windows. He opens up doors. Amen. Sometimes you got to take the high road. We got to take, that's what Christ did. Let this mind be in you. Same and I'm Christ. Telling you, I can feel just soaring in the spirit. We'll just be soaring in the spirit. Amen. Yeah. What's the verse that says, talks about, we'll run and not get weary. They that wait on the Lord. I'm telling you, listen. Somebody's dealing with something. Somebody's going through something, and maybe you're not going through nothing, but you're going to need this. Listen, I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching. Amen. Hey, guess what? They that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. You're going to mount up with wings like eagles. You're going to run and not get weary. And guess what? They that have done things to you, guess what? You won't even have the same spirit that you want harm. I want to see God's blessing for them. For real. That's how you know you let it go. You want to see God's best for their life. That means you don't hold anything against anybody. Amen. We got to let some stuff go. But we got to trust the Lord. And he will. He will take responsibility on your behalf. And guess what? Even if the enemy does come and attack my home, my house, my family, guess what? Even Job was attacked. But it was God's will. God allowed it. And it's such a big difference when it's things that we've done versus what God allows. It's a different attack altogether. You'll keep your peace even in the midst of the attack. Amen. Let's pray. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you. We bless you, your name, to know that you are God. You're awesome. You're holy, oh God, even in all of your ways. We thank you, oh God, to know that you've already won the battle. We already have the victory, even our faith. And Jesus said that he beheld Satan like lightning fall from heaven, and nothing by any means shall hurt us. So God, we thank you, oh God, to know that we have the victory, but we must walk in victory. We must walk in this victory to know that the veil of the temple has been torn top to bottom. There are no need for sacrifices. There are no need for a priest to take our burnt offerings before you. God, the Lamb of God, was slain before the foundation of this world. And because of what he did, the Bible says he abolished in the flesh the enmity, the hostility of us all. And because we know that, oh God, break us to knowing what we have in you. Break us to knowing that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through you to the pulling down of strongholds. Oh God, break us, oh God, in the name of Jesus, to know that we can soar in the spirit to see you for who you are. God, we love you, oh God. Lord, we see a spirit in this world and in this city and in this nation, God, that only wants to take things at face value, that wants to deal with physical things by physical means. And help us, oh God, break us to know that the things that we can't see are greater than the things that we can see. And so, God, we thank you, oh God, to know all things were created by you. And for you, all things, they consist, whether they be thorns, thrones, whether they be dominions, whether they be visible or invisible, oh God. All things were created by you, oh God, whether they be cities, oh God, wherever they be on earth or in heaven, in the second heaven. God, we pray, oh God, that you cut these spirits, generational curses, territorial spirits, roots, oh God, different things that we're dealing with, different things that our children is dealing with, the spirit of rejection, the spirit of wanting to fit in, the spirit of seduction, the spirit of sensuality, the spirit of sexuality, the spirit of homosexuality. Oh God, all these things that are attacking our children, the spirit of murder, oh God, the spirit of incest, the spirit of addiction, alcohol, drugs, oh God, we drive these things out right now in the name of Jesus. We're living in an evil day. We're wrestling against principalities. We're wrestling against powers, oh God. So we stand on your word to know we have no power in and of ourselves. But you said the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, oh God. Father, you've given us the keys to the kingdom of heaven. You said whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Father God, we pray, oh God, anger, oh God, wrath, oh God, hatred, oh God, unforgiveness, oh God, dysfunction, disunity. We come against these spirits right now in the name of Jesus. We pray for families, bring families back together. Help people to be like-minded. Help people to take the high road, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. You said leave your gift at the altar that we might get some things right with you. Break us, oh God, for a prevailing way. And you are that way. You are that truth. And you are that life. God, we lift up our mothers, oh God. Oh God, whatever it is, wherever it is, God, we place these things into your hand. God, we love you and we bless you. We pray for our children, our young adults, our babies, oh God. But most of all, oh God, we pray for souls that people will come to the saving knowledge of you. God, we love you and we bless you. For it's in Jesus' name and for his sake, we pray. Amen.